Good morning. How's everybody doing? Tell you what, after praising God like that, it's the rain. What rain, right? That's awesome. So you guys sound great. Appreciate your participation there. You know, we have just read about a man named Jacob who checked into what some have called the Hard Rock Hotel. For those of you who don't know, he used a rock for his pillow. And he had a vision which turned his ordinary world into the extraordinary. He saw something that he had not seen before, and yet it was there all the time. He would never have believed it in his waking moments, so God used his sleeping moments in a dream to show him this place. In the very place where he had stopped to lay down for the night, there was a stairway to heaven, a ramp to heaven. The angels of God were going back and forth between heaven and earth, and God himself was standing next to Jacob. When he arrived, the only thing Jacob saw was a flat place on the ground where he could lay down, and he found a rock, like I said, that he could rest his head on. And all the time, he was surrounded by the glory of God and the hosts of heaven. When Jacob woke up, he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." Let's say that together. Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gates of heaven. You know, when I read that story, I often wonder how many times I am unaware of God's presence around me. Anyone else in that situation? I wonder how many times I miss God, because so many times I am preoccupied by the ordinary that I fail to see the extraordinary. Amen. I live so much in this world that I fail to see the real world. I am so good at observing the material world, so I never see the spiritual world. I want everything to be explainable, so I miss the unexplainable. Anybody else there with me? But what I pray for are eyes to see this stairway of God. Amen. I want to see the spiritual world as easily as I see the natural world. I want to see the miraculous as easy as I see the laws of nature operating. I want to see the spiritual as easily as I see the physical. And the kind of thing that needs to happen, as it happened with Jacob, is the kind of thing that happens throughout Scripture. For instance, as an example, Moses was unaware. He was unaware one day as he was walking through an ordinary day, guiding his sheep to pasture. And he encountered an extraordinary thing. It was a bush that burned and that did not burn up. And God was in the flame. He had been shepherding over what he thought was ordinary ground when God told him to take off his shoes, because this was not ordinary ground. This was holy ground. Amen. I sometimes ask myself how many times I've been going through some familiar place, and I fail to see that it is full with God's presence. I've been walking on what I thought was ordinary ground when all the while it truly was holy ground. What will it take for us to see what is really going on around us, folks? The first thing I need, if I'm to understand that there is more going on than I realize, and I believe you need them as well, is I need new eyes to see. New eyes to see. I don't need better eyes. I mean, I think probably I need better eyes, but for today's message, I don't need better eyes, I need new eyes. I need spiritual eyes that come as a gift from God. He enables us to see, hear, and feel things that we had not experienced before. I've always been amazed at Jesus' appearances after his resurrection and the spiritual blindness of the disciples. I mean, they were saturated with Jesus' teachings and presence 3 years before, right? And yet they failed to recognize him. They were unaware. After the resurrection, several people spoke of how they had seen Jesus and they talked with Jesus, and the disciples who went fishing after his death heard him call to them, and even though he spoke to them as before, they missed it. They were unaware. They didn't recognize him. And the most amazing story is in Luke 24. If you want to write these down, I'm going to throw out some scriptures this morning. I invite you to write them down and maybe on what we call Cliff's Notes or the study guide, and take them home and read through these. I invite you to do that. Luke 24. And in this story, Luke 24, two of the disciples were walking along the road to what? Emmaus, that's right, exactly. And Jesus came up and began to walk with them, but they did not know who Jesus was. We don't know why, but they did not know who Jesus was. It was obvious they were depressed. Even though they had heard stories that he had risen from the dead, they were still depressed. He began to teach them from scriptures about what the Messiah, and that the Messiah was destined to suffer, but they did not recognize him. He said to them, "How foolish you are," in verse 25, "how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." Their hearts were burning within them and they still didn't get it. How many of us are in that situation? In some place, our hearts are just burning within us and we know something is right there, but we miss it. We are unaware. So their hearts were burning within them and they didn't get it. And they sat down to a meal with Jesus, and even though their hearts were drawn to him, they were clueless to who he was until Jesus broke bread with them. And then their eyes were opened. That's so cool, isn't it? Are we like those two disciples sometimes? Are we unaware? It seems that sometimes, now listen to me. It seems that sometimes our spiritual enemy begins to speak to us about all the dark and the discouraging things going on around us. Is that just me, or does other people have that voice in their ear too? It's just helpless. It's hopeless. We can't do anything. This dark and discouraging, these things that are whispered into our ear. And the funny thing is, we have more faith in that. Many times. And what Scripture tells us about the truth of God. Do we ever get the feeling that how you see things may not be the way they really are? That your interpretation of the events might just be way off? Do you ever think that you may need another way of seeing and of knowing? You know, there's an Old Testament story of the prophet Elisha in 2 Kings, which is a great example. In one story, he's in the city of Dothan, and he and his servant awake to find the city surrounded by an enemy army. Now picture this in your mind. Elisha's servant was in a panic and said to Elisha, "Oh my Lord, what do we do?" And the prophet answered him, "Don't be afraid. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Then Elisha prayed, "O Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, "Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha." Isn't that awesome? No, it's not awesome. Is that, that's awesome, isn't it? Think about it. If you open your eyes in a bad situation, whatever your situation is, and you open your eyes and you see the hills all around you filled with horses and chariots of fire. Man, I tell you what, I think I'd fall to my knees right there, don't you? I'd be overwhelmed with what God had opened my eyes to. His mighty army. there for my defense. And just as it was with Elisha, just when things could not be any worse, God showed them that God was surrounding them with a greater power than we could ever imagine, than he could ever imagine. And that's exactly what happens to us. So when you hear that voice in your ear of the negative and disparaging things that are going on around you, remember God's truth. And God is standing in the gap for us. The second thing I need, if I am to understand that there is more going on than I realize, is I need new ears to hear. New ears to hear. Many people wonder why God doesn't speak to us the way he did in biblical times. Well, first of all, there's several thousand years in this book, you must remember. But is God really talking to us less now than God used to? Have you ever noticed when the electricity goes out how quiet your house is? I woke up this morning and I was sitting in the dark just trying to get my thoughts together before I finished up this morning, the PowerPoint and such, and I was sitting there in the dark and I heard the dishes fan going on, you know, the dish network thing, the fan going on cooling the dish network, and no one was watching TV, so I don't know why it was cooling, but it was there, right? I heard the fan on the refrigerator. I heard the fan on the computer. I heard the clocks tick. Tick, tick, tock. Have you ever noticed when the electricity goes out, you don't hear any of that? You only have your own thoughts. You only have God only, right? Whispering to you. Do you really think that God speaks to us less, or do you think it's that we listen less? When is the last time that you went home and didn't have the TV on? When is the last time that you weren't messing with the computer? Listening to the noise of the computer or your smart dumb phone? I say dumb for those of you who don't know because they don't know anything unless you download an app on them, right? So everybody calls them smartphones, but they're kind of a smart dumb phone. Anyway. Right? How many times have you sat there and allowed God to speak to you in a way that you can hear? We need new ears to hear. Amen. Most of us constantly have the TV running. Think about it. Whenever people are jogging, when you see them, most people have earphones in, right? Listening to music. Yeah. They don't hear the birds chirping and stuff like that, do they? They're running in their own little world, which is great. That's better than not running at all, like me, I suppose. But they're out in nature. They ought to hear God's creation. But how would people, how would we hear God if he was trying to speak to us? Again, there's a wonderful story in the Old Testament of a priest named Eli and a young boy. You know the story. He's grooming for priesthood, and this boy is named Samuel. You know the story? Samuel was only a child, but he had the heart for God, and his spiritual ears were open. And during the night, he heard someone calling him, Samuel. Samuel. But he thought it was old Eli. So he got up, and he went into Eli's room, and he says, Here I am. You called me? Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And the same thing happened a second time. And Samuel came into Eli and Eli said, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. And it happened a third time. And finally, the third time, Eli said, Tell you what, Samuel. Next time you say, Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. Because he knew that it was God speaking to Samuel. And then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. E. Stanley Jones tells of a time when he was about to board a plane when he heard God in his spirit tell him not to get on the plane. And he later heard that that plane crashed and everyone aboard was killed. When he shared his experience with someone, they said, You mean to tell me that God only spoke to you? And Jones says, by no means, but it is possible that I was the only one listening. I was the only one listening. It is important to develop your ability to hear God. The third thing I need, if I'm to understand that there is more going on around me than I realize, is a new heart to believe. Many times, all we see is this material world, isn't it? We see our material problems. We see other people that have material things, and we become jealous. But folks, this is also a spiritual world. Amen? We have to have a new heart to understand and believe that. You see, the good news is that God stands ready to give us this new heart, an awakened heart that experiences the world in a whole new way, like Jacob in our scripture for today. We wake up to the real world and we say, surely the Lord was in this place and I did not know it. Let's say that together. Surely the Lord was in this place and I did not know it. That sounds so awesome. Let's do that again. Surely the Lord was in this place and I did not know it. So the one thing that keeps us from seeing and hearing is a heart that is dead or dulled by the struggles of our life. That's why we need a new heart, so we can see the bush afire for God. Amen? So that we can see the stairway to heaven like Jacob did. So we can hear God's voice. God will give us a heart that is fully alive if we ask Him. And I believe it was Saint Irenaeus who said, the glory of God is man fully alive. Have you thought about that? The glory of God is man fully alive. Paul wrote, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. 2 Corinthians 4. Someone wrote, there are two types of birds. One is the hummingbird and the other is the vulture. The vultures find the rotting meat because that is what they look for. They thrive on that diet. But hummingbirds, on the other hand, they ignore the smelling flesh of dead animals. Instead, they look for the colorful blossoms and the sweet nectar. Each bird, you see, finds what it is looking for. And my question for you today is, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? Or maybe I should ask some of you, are you looking at all? In Matthew 13, Jesus tells us that there's a difference between those who have been transformed by the Spirit of God and those who live only in this natural world. Jesus says, quote, verse 11, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, but to them, seeing they do not perceive, and hearing they do not listen, nor do they understand. With them indeed is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah that says, you will indeed listen, but never understand. You will indeed look, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are hard of hearing, and they have shut their eyes, so that they might not look with their eyes, and listen with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, Jesus says, and I would heal them. Are you unaware? You see, God has promised that He can transform our hearts if we come to Him. He said, I give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. The Bible puts it this way in 1 Corinthians 13. We do not yet see things clearly. We're squinting as if through a fog. But it won't be long before the weather clears and the sun shines bright. Amen. We'll see it all then. See it as clearly as God sees us, knowing Him directly as He knows us. Yes, the day is coming when the fog will clear, and all that can be seen will be seen. We will see with new eyes. We will hear with new ears. We will understand, folks, with new hearts. But it can begin now as we open our hearts to the Word of God. Spain once controlled both sides of the Mediterranean Sea at the Straits of Gibraltar, an important and powerful position for any nation with a navy. The Straits of Gibraltar became the symbol and pride of Spain, and the Spanish aristocracy had their coins minted depicting the two pillars of Hercules, the name given to the projections of rock on either side of the strait. On the coin, they placed a scroll over the pillars that read this. And that means no more beyond. Eventually, however, courageous Spanish sailors, they sailed around what is now South Africa. They sailed west to the new land. It opened up a whole new world for them. They understand what they had never thought of before. A radical shift in their worldview took place, and as a result, they forged a new set of coins. They were like the old coins, except for one thing. They left off one word, and it became this. Because they finally realized that there was much more world beyond the straits of Gibraltar. Don't be unaware. Don't be unaware. There is more beyond our world as we know it. But only with new eyes will we see its beauty. Only with new ears will we hear its music, and only with new hearts will we believe its wonders. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we give you thanks and praise for this day. We give you thanks and praise, God, for the way that you can give us new eyes, and the way that you can give us new ears, and the way, Lord, that you can give us a new heart to believe. We have faith in you, God, and because of that faith in Jesus Christ, we believe that you will anoint this place with your Spirit, that you will anoint our eyes and ears and heart so that we can see your world, so that we won't get lost, Lord, in the negative things of this world, so that we won't get lost in the material world, God, but we will see your real world that is all around us. We have faith in these things, God, and I ask for your powerful anointing to be upon us. May we truly be the hands and the feet of Jesus, your Son, in this community, in this state, and in this world, God. Help us show others your real world, this holy place that is all around us. We ask this in Jesus' name, and all of God's people said, Amen.